Welcome to Just Think, the podcast.
The podcast where we don't want to tell you what to think.
We just want to encourage you to do it.
We are three friends that came from across the political spectrum who were tired of partisan politics and were alarmed at what we saw happening in our country, including the growing political divide.
But we found as we challenged ourselves to recognize our own biases, to put them aside, we were absolutely united in our pursuit for the truth.
And that's why we started this podcast, to share the conversations we were having around that pursuit and to invite you into our conversation.
To encourage you to feel free to ask questions, search for the answers yourself, to say what you think.
That's right, because as we like to say, diversity of thought, ideas, and beliefs are welcome here. Asshats are not.
All are welcome as long as you just think.
Before we get started and take deep inhalations.
Because you're going to need it.
And slow exhalations. Because keep running, friends. Well, hey, everybody. Welcome to Just Think, the podcast. If you don't know already, this is Holly.
And Amy.
And Kristen.
And today it's the three of us, which usually means we got some hot topics that we want to throw your way, that we want to make sure you know about. We want to hear your opinions on, and you're going to probably just by default hear our opinions on a lot of this today, but the goal is to make you aware, because we know if this is your first time listening to us, we're going to go ahead and tell you, stop listening to mainstream media. It cannot be trusted, and you're going to have to find just divergent sources of information now and piece things together to figure out what's really going on in this crazy world in which we live. And so today, we should just put a big fat trigger warning, even though we don't personally believe in trigger warnings, because we're like, hey, put your big girl pants on and deal with whatever you're going to hear. But these are topics that we're just going to be, in full disclosure, tell you, have made each of us want to burn something down. And we're not those people, okay? We don't set cities on fire. We don't believe in any of that. We don't believe in mostly peaceful protests, okay? That is not who we are. But we want to burn it down right now. And so if that's where it's gotten us, right? Three women who love God, love people, and want to do the right thing. And we are about done with y'all. Like, we're about done. If we feel that way, we imagine many of you are too. So may this be a cathartic experience in some way. Maybe just get fired up with this. But let's also talk about what can we do about it. And I think where the conclusions will lie is we have got to evacuate Washington, D.C. And elected offices need to be vacated with new people put in, because both the left and the right, like, overwhelmingly suck. At this point,
I was about to say they suck.
Both. With some exceptions, right? With some exceptions, but mostly they suck. Okay, so girls, we have a little laundry list of things that we want to talk about. Is there any particular place you want to get started today? What's like top of mind right now?
Well, we should start with the newcomers.
Okay.
Because there's a lot on the newcomers. So you haven't heard that term. Yeah.
You're not allowed to say illegal alien. We found that out the hard way also, because a little kid was suspended from school for just simply saying illegal alien. That's here in North Carolina.
Yep. In a school in Lexington, North Carolina.
Yeah. We fell out of our chair on that story.
Where is that? I mean, we shared it. There were so many like teachers that were like, are you freaking kidding me?
Yeah.
Well, but can we just remind everyone, you know, if you didn't read 1984 when you were in high school, like I did, this was what the big brother did. It arrested language, right? You can't say certain things. You can't use certain terms. Y'all, it's so bad that my 17-year-old son said to me yesterday when we were taking a college tour, he said, you know what makes me sad about leaving my school? And I was like, what? And he said, I can't say what I think. Mm. And I was like, Bennett, yes, you can.
He was like, my son, yes, you can.
But like, he's aware that he's in a school that champions critical thinking and that doesn't buy into all the narratives, right? So he's realizing he's going out into the world where it's censorship, you know, galore. and self-censoring so that you don't get yourself in trouble, which right. is exactly why we have a problem with this kid using the term illegal alien, which, by the way, was it not a spelling word or a vocab word? Like, it wasn't.
I'll read what this says. This is a 16-year-old student at Central Davidson High School in North Carolina. He was suspended for 3 days after using the term illegal alien during a vocabulary assignment in his English class. Christian McGee's teacher assigned vocabulary words during class last Tuesday, including the word alien. According to his mother, Leah, Christian responded to his teacher asking, like space aliens or illegal aliens without green cards? According to an email describing the incident sent to local officials and shared with Carolina Journal, a young man in class took offense to Christian's question and reportedly threatened to fight him, prompting the teacher to call in the assistant principal. Ultimately, Christian's words were deemed by administrative staff to be offensive and disrespectful to classmates who are Hispanic. He said, I didn't make a statement directed towards anyone. I wasn't speaking of Hispanics because everyone from other countries needs green cards. And the term illegal alien is an actual term that I hear on the news and I can find in the dictionary. In addition to the 3-day suspension, his record could be damaged as he aims to secure an athletic scholarship for college. He's actively involved in school clubs, track, cross country. So here's the thing, like there's so many awesome comments from this. And like one of them says, I'm Hispanic and I call out illegal aliens every day and I'm not offended. We need to flood the school with calls. And someone said, I'm an American with Mexican heritage. And in our house, we use the term illegal alien. It is what it is. And illegal aliens isn't only exclusive to Latinos. It can mean any or pertain to any race, creed, color. If you've come to the United States and didn't go through proper checks, standards, governances, and visa processes, then yes, you are an illegal alien. Like, he did nothing wrong, and this could go on his record. And then someone was like, okay, so what about the kid that threatened to fight him? There, he's okay? But yeah, this guy?
We don't threaten to fight at school, and we don't get suspended?
I mean, I wish an illegal alien would. So listen, I don't think he called a student in his classroom an alien. Like, no. None of that. It was not that.
He was just questioning that.
He's trying to figure out which definition of the word alien are we going for here.
Yeah.
Right. Like, I mean.
Here's what's so sad. We are bending over backwards to accommodate people breaking the law while chastising law keepers. Make that make sense.
And like, bending over backwards for people who get offended by every single freaking thing. I'm over that. I mean, I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. I don't want anything. Nobody wants to. But, I mean, put your big girl panties on.
Yes. And I want to call the episode of the podcast, like, I just want to say illegal alien, illegal alien, illegal. I just want to say it. Like, 100 times.
Say it.
Right. Illegal alien 100 times.
Don't say gay.
Like, it makes me want to push back. I'm like, and I'm not, I don't want to cause problems. And I think the average American does not want to be a problem for their fellow Americans or for anyone else. We don't. But we're tired of this. We've done this long enough. We've tried to play by fake rules, using fake language, avoiding certain terms to try to not offend people. Right. I mean, there's a list of growing words I'm not supposed to say anymore, which, by the way, only makes me want to say them. Okay.
Yep.
It's ridiculous. We have got, first of all, it's not even authentic and real. You know what I like? I love when someone is super honest, even if it's offensive. I love it. You know why? Because then I know what they really think. I think of Trump, let's be honest. This is not an endorsement of Trump, but I am saying, hey, with Trump, I feel like I know exactly what I'm getting because he says exactly what he thinks. There's something about that personally, I think in my trust meter is like, okay, I trust you more because I know what I'm dealing with. What I don't trust is people who say all the right things.
Yep. Like politicians.
Mm-hmm. All of them.
See, yeah. I was about to say, that's also why I love comedians. Because comedians say things that you're thinking, but they make it funny, you know? I mean, it's very similar to that. But
people are coming after comedians now.
Right.
I mean, they feel stifled.
They're the truth tellers. This is what's so amazing. Right. Yes. So there's this whole movement to silence them because they're not politically correct. Thank God they pushed back. I mean, not all of them, but the Joe Rogans of the world. Oh my gosh.
Here's, no, what's his
Dave
name?
Dave Chappelle.
Dave.
Dave is like, nope. You can camp me, Alphabet Mafia, but it's, I don't care.
Brewer.
Yeah.
Like, here's why. Because it's comedy, and not every brand of comedy is for all of us. I mean, there's some comedians I don't find funny. It's just personal, you know, especially if they're hyper crude. Like, I get tired of that. But, like, that's a taste thing, right? So, like, it's art. It's art.
Just move on. Scroll on. Cup of tea, and that's okay.
Scroll on, turn the channel, change what you're listening to. Like, it's called America. It's not everything is for you. But this is the problem. We have created this, like, egocentric type of a culture where people think they're supposed to be catered to. And again, it's where I'm like, want to give everybody a big fat middle finger and be like, no, I'm not doing this. I'm not, because guess what? I don't want you to do that for me either. Like, right. I want freedom. I want everyone to find what they're looking for, not what I want all the time. It's just ridiculous. It's just utterly ridiculous. Anyway, moving on from, I think we can move on from that topic. Just be aware of 10 million illegal aliens have come into, see, I almost changed it. 10 million illegal aliens have crossed our border during the Biden administration. I just want you to wrap your brain.
That's probably just how many we know of.
What we know of. That's, I think, the latest number that Congress admits. 10 million. How many people are in the state of Montana or Wyoming? Probably, is there even 10 million people in the entire state?
Some, like, the population of 32 states put together.
And just remember, they're not paying into the system, right? I mean, some might, if they have a fake Social Security number, then there's a possibility they would actually get
they're
taxed.
They're not paying into the system. They're getting paid.
It's taxing all of us. We cannot do this. I don't care. Like, this is, we have to take compassion out of this thing, you know, for the refugees, for the oppressed, for the poor. But I get all that. But again, we're a country, not a charity. You got to run a country.
They pushed us beyond the breaking point. Like, now it's to the point where it's like compassion, smash, and like close the border.
Because
we just recently found out the dude that killed Lake and Riley apparently was paroled by the Biden administration. And there's Rand Paul was grilling Mayorkas about that on the Senate floor. I think we have the video.
Yeah, do you want me to pull that?
How this guy is still Homeland Security chief or something? How he's still in this position, I don't know. Like, you let this many people come in the country.
Isn't this during his supposed impeachment?
Supposed that's not happening or won't happen or something. I don't know.
Yeah,
it was in the notes. Do you see it?
Yeah, no, I got it right here.
Okay.
But it's a sad day. A sad day in the sense that it's come to this. It's in a debate over policy. This was a debate over malfeasance, a debate over whether you've been telling the truth and whether you've been enforcing the law. We have a disaster at our southern border, a disaster that becomes very personal to people. Lake and Riley's family, this disaster cost them the loss of a loved one. We have a disaster where people show up at the border every day and they just simply say, hey, I'm Joe Smith from Venezuela, and then they waltz on in. There's supposed to be rules. There are rules about paroling people. Under the Trump administration, a very small number of people were paroled. Under this administration, it's become a blanket parole. There's been the question, and you've been asked repeatedly. You testified to Senator Graham last year that parole is individualized. But then the administration has admitted that it's a public benefit to have migrants come in as migrants as opposed to illegal aliens, as if it's a difference. You know, a million people come by and we don't see them at all. A million people come by and they stop and we give them migrant status and somehow that's better. And there's a public benefit to that. But that's not individualized. That's judging people as a group. But I can't help but be sad for Lake and Riley and her family who didn't have to have this. And he wasn't paroled for any of those reasons. And we're going to get into that in the question and answer. You've either said you don't have the knowledge, you've been asked about this multiple times, but we're going to ask again, how did the murder of Lake and Riley get into this country? And what is the statute that allowed you to do it? How could you? And how could you sleep at night, you know, having done that? You know, there are laws, I mean, and that's what this is about. It isn't about whether or not the Biden administration believes in an open border policy. It's about whether we have laws and you're going to enforce them at all. The last administration was enforcing the law, and you just haven't been enforcing the law. And millions of people are coming across, and you know they've committed heinous crimes and murder. And Lakin Riley's family will never get her back. And yet that man came in and apparently was let go because they said it was full. There's no statute saying that when the camps are full, you just let people in. We have a system where we're just saying, hey, what's your name? And then we fingerprint you and then off you go. I mean, we had over 300 people on the terrorist watch list come in and then are found at a later date to be on the watch list. We have people coming to New York. We fly them to New York. We give them money. We put them up in a hotel. They assault a police officer. And then as they come out past the cameras, they're flipping the bird to everybody in America. That's a sad day for America, and you've presided over this. You've presided over just a disastrous border, and it isn't a matter of policy. It isn't as a matter of you like open borders and we like, you know, a more secure border. There's a law. We have a law, and you're supposed to enforce that law. And yesterday was a sad day because the majority went ahead and set the precedent that having lied to Congress, there wasn't going to be an examination of whether you lied to Congress. They were just going to simply say lying to Congress didn't rise high enough to be high crimes and misdemeanors. Chairman says, oh, we're just throwing rocks as well. We didn't fix the border policy. That's just not true at all. The fix that was advanced legislatively was a fix that would have allowed 5,000 people a day before we would have taken extraordinary measures to try to slow the influx of migrants. But even after 5,000 a day, it was going to let migrants of no limit still come through the ports of entry. So it really wasn't a reform. It was a whitewash.
No. Can we say that our country is full? It's there's too many there. Like if we can say that in our in the jails or in where we hold them, I still it blows my mind, and it blows my mind that people like on the was it The View or MSNBC? Who was it that was just laughing about it, thinking that these people think that the
Virginia,
border is like
West Virginia
policy
problem.
Yeah, it was in MSNBC with it was like their little round table.
Was it Circleback Zaki?
Yes. Jen Circleback Zaki.
You know how he just sits there and listens to that, knowing that how does he sleep at night? And how does he feel presiding over, this is his border. This is his deal.
I think the people who work for this, whatever, I don't even want to call it an administration because it's clearly deeper than some type of pervasive evil situation happening.
Right.
I don't know that they have consciences. I don't know if they're like, if their souls are even aware of how corrupt they are. I honestly think they are so messed up that they think this is fun because there's some justified means to the end. So whatever it is Mayorkas tells himself at night, I imagine it has nothing to do with, maybe I should rethink that. That's not right.
I mean, I also feel like there could very easily be some very other evil, sinister stuff going on that they're paid off. They're getting paid. This is what's happening. We've already talked to Christy Hutchison, the cartels pay these people. Like, who knows? Yeah. I mean, we can't prove this, but some of my thinking is money pays a lot of people, and that is what influences a lot. And they will sacrifice their morals and their ethics and their values to have money.
Well, or they're being blackmailed.
Right.
Like there's the only other plausible when you see somebody just clearly so
devoid of reason.
Like either somebody has some tape of you doing something somewhere with somebody. Right.
Yeah. Well, look at it. Wouldn't it shock you if he was doing? If someone had a video of him doing some, I'm sorry, that's mean, but that would not shock me. I'm just going to say.
I mean, I'm sure it is.
Him and Pink Mitigate. I'm kidding. But here's my thing, too. I think that what bothers us, not just that it's happened, not just that he seems devoid of any remorse for what's happened on his watch or what his legacy will be, which is terrible. He obviously doesn't care.
Mm-hmm.
What really bothers me is I have very little faith that there will ever be any retribution
mm-hmm.
for what, because look at what happened. I mean, it's CIA has covered these people, obviously, because you look at Fauci. Zero is happening to this man that we know helped make sure that lab was funded to create the coronavirus in the first place, took extreme measures to cover it up. We now know these things and nothing's happening with him. He's going to go off into his retirement with his millions of dollars. Mm. And I'm sorry, it's not okay. No. And the other thing that really bothers me is we continue to have these hearings before the Senate and the truth inevitably is coming out. Nothing's changing. No. Literally, they want to pretend all the people who gaslit us through COVID, who said that it was a pandemic of the unvaccinated, who said that we were killing grandma, who disassociated with us, who cut off ties with us, who persecuted us, who tried to comment us on social media, who tried to post about us on social media saying that we were the problem. There's not been one apology, not one acknowledgement, when all the facts point that we were right the entire time. And by the way, we were right. And one of the people who did that, when I said I wasn't going to get the jab, and I literally said, hey, I did a reel. And I was like, hey, listen, y'all do what you want. I'm all for medical freedom. I'm gonna sit this one out. I'm not getting that jab. I'm going to rely on natural immunity, my own good health, all those things to fight this virus, which I did and won. Thank you very much. So here's the thing that bugs me. That same doctor who tried to share my thing and talk about how I was pretty much the problem on her personal platforms on social media came at Kristen this week again. She's learned nothing. She's still the most educated idiot, along with so many other doctors. I said it. I'd say it to her face. You're an educated idiot. You cannot see past your indoctrination. It's ironic. Indoctrination. Like, she's so cannot see past what the AMA and all those other medical associations and CDC and FDA, all those people who we know not to trust. Okay? She's still buying it hook, line, and sinker. Kristen, you want to talk about it?
I just posted a very factual post, and if you're on Facebook, you can see it. Maybe I'll just share some screenshots in the Substack for y'all's entertainment.
Do you like?
I need to make it public. I just realized that it wasn't the other day because it went over from Instagram. But I posted a meme. Let me see. It says, if medical professionals offered true informed consent, the world will be full of anti-vaxxers. I mean, I fully believe that. I know everybody doesn't possibly. And I said, name one doctor who truly informed you of all of the risks. Name one doctor who read the vaccine insert and studies and still said yes. They will never offer fully informed consent because they know what you will decide once you know the facts. I was a former vaxxer. Most anti-vaxxers, quote, anti-vaxxers, because I hate that term, they were former vaxxers. I always had a good feeling, but I didn't know enough to act on it. Sadly, I trusted not only my doctor, but also my nursing school education. But when I finally read the inserts and the studies myself, I was angry, shocked, frustrated, sad, and guilty. So many emotions. But I was also empowered and confident with the knowledge to make a true informed decision, a much safer decision for my kids. And I encourage you to do the same. I said, ask questions, find answers, read it for yourself. When you know better, you do better. Well, she commented, and I don't need to read everything to you, but like she commented and said, me, 100% yes, you can name me. I 100% know everything, have read everything with extensive knowledge. And I said, yes, 100% yes. Like we're talking like, whoo, she is like the biggest cheerleader for it.
But also let's remind everyone, so while pregnant, got the COVID vaccine in 2021, early on, you guys. So when I tell you her judgment may not be trustworthy or the sharpest judgment in the world, it just shows the amount of blindness and indoctrination. By the way, her child then came early, which we know documented side effect of the vaccine. I'm just throwing it out there. Go ahead, Chris.
Well, and we can speculate, and could very be possibly, there's premature babies all the time, but if you look at the facts right now, a lot of the complications, pregnancy and fetal complications, have really increased, including stillbirths and miscarriages. You should see the Substack that we wrote on that a while back. That was even a while back. It's horrible. and not to mention the menstrual issues and everything. But she came back, so I came back. And y'all, I've been thinking about doing this for a long time. And this, honestly, this is where Katie Wood, our one of our favorites, always says, life is rigged for you, rigged in your favor. There's a reason for everything. And I have been stewing on this for so long, wanting to share stuff. I know there's so many resources out there, but to put together truly a list of questions or, you know, for your doctor, questions with the resources to back it up, to share with your doctor or ask your doctor, because every fully informed doctor should be able to answer these questions and they should share this before you make a decision you can never take back. So it's a lot of questions that, you know, main questions. So I came back with her at her with those questions and she never answered them. And this was her opportunity. This was her opportunity to provide everybody else who's watching the platform for her to answer, because she was so confident. And I honestly, y'all, we have our opinions on this, but I came from the other side. And a lot of times, just like we are with politics and a lot of these other things where we're like, we really simply want to understand how can we look at the same thing and come to opposite conclusions and opposite opinions. I genuinely want to hear from doctors, have you read the exact same thing I have and still come to the same conclusions? And I really want to know. She immediately came back and just called me an anti-vaxxer and activist. She said, "I'm with for my activism anti-vaxxer activism." Whew. So
she doesn't have time. Oh, by the way, no. Well, you left out an important part. Oh, yeah. She's also the hero. Remember, she's saving critically ill children in the hospital.
She said, because let me read y'all that part. Hang on.
I mean, that part wanted to send me slant. Listen, thank you, doctors, for working in hospitals trying to help critically ill patients. But the way that is such a narcissistic response, it made me want to vomit.
Right.
So she said,
to remind everyone that she's the one who commented on Kristen's post.
100.
Taken time to continue to comment on this post. So, and then all of a sudden when she's pressed against the wall for answers, oh, she doesn't have time.
We have time to scroll social media and find this post.
Yeah.
So when I responded to that, she said, I'm not gaslighting or anyone nor trying to deflect. She said, you asked the question, I answered. What did she say? Where is it that she said that with the,
that was the response before that probably.
Okay. Hang on. Oh, there it is. She said, you said to name one person that was fully vaccinated and still chose to vaccinate the child. My response was me. I am fully informed and I choose to vaccinate my child. Beyond that, your anti-vax activism is not something I have the time nor energy to address because I am too busy over here on the front line saving critically ill children and working hard to optimize the care we provide them. It won't matter how many real life cases of vaccine preventable deaths and morbidities that I have seen as a pediatric intensivist and how few vaccine related adverse events I have seen. You have your sources. I have my own personal eyes. I don't know that you.
Well, our personal eyes wouldn't recognize vaccine injury if it popped her in the face.
So, I said, I did not think that asking questions that I genuinely want to know is called activism. Activism, or is it that providing education and information to people just like you do called activism? And I said, it's not like I have the time or the energy to respond to condescending comments like yours, but I do because I care. And by the way, just because I'm not on the front lines treating critically ill patients anymore, don't forget, y'all, I was an ER nurse for 17 years, so I was on the front lines treating critically ill patients. Doesn't mean that I don't have or use my own personal eyes. I don't need to be in the ICU to know what's happening or being educated. This is what happens, though, and this is where I think that so many moms,
colleagues, if you have a doctor talking to you like that, you're gonna be scared and you're gonna be intimidated and not gonna ask questions. If your doctor came and said 100% me, I have read all the information and I would absolutely recommend vaccination and, you know, don't be an activist, you'll be like, oh, okay, you know.
And that's where, like, I'm not discounting. She is, this is what I'm talking about. She is smart. And I did come back and say, you're smart. You are educated. I just want you to listen. And I said, I really was trying to be very respectful, y'all, because I do respect her as a doctor, as a pediatric intensivist, but I don't.
I don't either.
Sorry.
I don't respect her reaction. I don't respect her. I don't respect the condescending, cocky, ego attitude. This is what happens, though. And this is where we have doctors get a bad rap from people like us, because we can read just like her. And it's not just me reading. She's saying, just because I have my sources, I know vaccine injured people. And she doesn't listen to it. There, nobody knows what's vaccine injured, because they can come in with seizures, have encephalopathy, and nobody asks, when was their last vaccine? When was it? What happened recently?
Exactly.
They're not connecting the dots. So no, exactly. She has no idea what she is treated.
No.
She does know what she's treating, but she doesn't know the calls all the time because it's never documented.
Well, also, we don't know whether it's vaccines, medications, horrible food, et cetera, what it's done to our immune systems, that over time, when our immune system finally goes, I'm done, I can't do this anymore, and right. then we have the symptoms. I mean, she wouldn't know. Oh, I want to ask her, well, then how many autistic children have you treated? Because mm-hmm. I'd love to know. Because, by the way, many of them are vaccine injured. Like,
oh, yeah.
And this is why I'd like, I'm not saying all autism comes from vaccines, just to be clear, because Lord knows people can't listen with nuance anymore. They just take sound bites and then accuse you of something. Not saying that.
Right.
But I don't think she even knows what vaccine injury really is. I mean, Bennett had eczema 5 days after a well visit where he got multiple shots, and the doctors could not connect the dots.
Right.
But they were like, this is a weird rash. Yeah. Well, he just was here. So what did you give my kid?
Right.
Like, do you see what I'm saying? There's no connection, because guess what? They're indoctrinated with safe, effective, necessary. Safe, effective, necessary. That's all they're told, guys. That's all they're told. And listen,
not Amy,
I can have sympathy. I can have sympathy for what they do. I can have sympathy for the fact that they've been like in a cult and they can't see. But now's the time to open your friggin' eyes. Because if you can't see what just happened with pharma and our government worldwide, globally, and you don't think there's not an agenda with these childhood vaccines too, you're out of your mind.
No.
I don't have sympathy anymore. If you're still dumb after 4 years, there is no hope for you. I don't know what to say.
And you're the only person as your doctor, I'll tell you that.
No. Well, this is where, like, all of that being said,
all right, Kristen, but
there's even more to it, but to spare you all the details, what it has made me do, truly, because I feel like, and plus, not to mention, Holly, we were talking about this before, so many of y'all do ask us. You either come to our inbox, my personal one, our personal ones, or just think, or we get emails from you, and we get so many messages asking about this stuff. I want this stuff in a place. I want something that I wish I had. I want something as a guide that's going to help me with the doctors, that not only like has the questions, but it actually provides sources that the doctor absolutely should deem credible, because they are straight from the CDC, the NIH, the FDA. I am putting together the list of things that your doctor should know. I've got resources listed with it. And then I want to go in depth on each vaccine and disease, childhood vaccine and illness. And it's going to come from a lot of resources. It's going to be a lot, but it's going to be focused, and it's searchable. In our Substack, it's searchable. Now, that being said, we do provide everything so far free. But this is, I have just probably spent probably 15 hours just this week listening, taking notes, gathering information, and putting everything together. And we are going to make this for paid subscribers. Okay. And just letting you know, y'all, if you just do the minimum, it's less than $7 a month to be a paid subscriber. It would just really be amazing. Oh, I mean, it's not just for me, but like for the work I do, if you see value in it and you would appreciate it, then we're going to provide that for you. So right. The people who already are paid subscribers, you get the bonus material. It's going to be a series. It's going to come. And then for those of you who aren't, we'd appreciate, it's like a little donation to us too.
Well, and here's the thing. The amount of time that we now devote to so much of this, including answering listeners' questions, because we do care. Because as Kristen said in her response, we actually do care. And mm-hmm. we want to help. We want to help save people too, as it turns out. But what I think is great about what Kristen is putting together is not just the science. It empowers the parents with very simple questions and things that you can say in these conversations with your doctors that doesn't have to be argumentative, does not have to be combative. It's just a simple, I'm going to feel comfortable doing this when you can answer this. And just to give you an example, one of the questions that Kristen in the rough draft she's working on right now says, why is it that we are advised to introduce one food at a time to our babies? If there's no concern introducing 3 to 5 vaccinations at a time, if there's a reaction, how would we know which vaccine my child is reacting to? It's a very simple, good question. And here's the thing. When that doctor said to Kristen, I'm trying not to say her name, but when she said what she said to Kristen, like, I have researched it. I'm like, oh, I've read the studies. And I'm like, okay, well, what did you learn from the study on giving multiple vaccines at one time? What was your takeaway? I would love to hear, you know, why, guys, there was never a study done. There has not been one study that has ever been published that tests whether it is safe to administer more than one vaccine at a time.
Yeah. And you know the amount of aluminum in there. There's not one study. I can even submitted a FOIA request to the CDC and NIH, and they came back saying that there has never, they were asking for safety studies for aluminum, which is in every single vaccine. Not every single vaccine, I take that back, but it's in most vaccines, more than the recommended daily allowance for even adults taking orally, where you only get, I think it's like less than 1%, it's like 0.3%. that you absorb when you have it orally, but this is getting injected, which is about 100% absorbed in your babies, okay? It's in 250 micrograms is in the hepatitis B vaccine, which is given on day one, all right? They asked for safety studies from them. And you know what they came back with saying? There are no studies that prove the safety of aluminum, the adjuvant that's in these vaccines, that accumulate over time and your baby cannot process. And do you know that if you have kidney issues, they definitely can't process it. So you need to make sure you've got good kidney function, adults and children. So there's a lot of those things. I'm going to do a whole Substack on aluminum, and I'm hoping to get Dr. Chris Exley on to talk about aluminum too. But y'all, this is where it's like, I am so passionate about this, and it's like, I need to have it just even for my mind, because like my brain obviously is like a squirrel on crack and my notes are the same way. So I'm trying to consolidate it all so that we all have a reference for it.
Yeah, this is going to be the most amazing like bonus content series that you guys could ever imagine. I mean, you know, if I'm sure that there are many of y'all that listen that will find the value in this and the heart, the time and the effort that goes into putting this all together. You know, we share Substacks on our episodes every single week with everything we talk about, absolutely free, you know, but this is above and beyond as far as the value and the time and the effort. And I think it is worth it's worth lots of dollars. I mean, it's worth its weight in gold to have this information. I truly do. Oh. And I see the value in it. And I think if we're going to have any kind of bonus content series, it should be this.
Thank you. And I would really love your feedback too. I want the moms, the dads, the grandparents, the, you know, everybody, please give us feedback. Like if you want more questions, if you have questions that your doctor stumped you on, or maybe your doctor did this. And I'd also love to even have a Substack series on testimonials, like how your conversations with your doctors and stuff. Like I think of like so many things that where we can go with this. Yeah. So I'd love to just hear what do you want us to cover? What
topic? And also the conversations with doctors whose eyes have been opened. It's like, yes. Dr. Naomi Wolf on Tougher this week. We encourage y'all to all go listen to that whole episode. Amy and I were just, our brains were exploding today listening to it. So good. So good. But what Dr. Naomi Wolf says is she says, you know, Chuckers like, what is the difference in you in the last 5 years? And she goes, well, first the scales came off my eyes. Like, there is an enlightenment. I'll never forget, because, like, listen, I'm as mad at Republicans as I am Democrats. Let me just be real clear. And everyone knows I'm the one that was raised on the right, right? But I have massive issues with that party. But the great Rush Limbaugh, sorry. I just, like, of course, I was raised on Rush. So y'all know, like, I have a special place in my heart. I'm not great with everything, but I love Rush. But Rush said something one time that made it clear to me why some people couldn't see things that I thought were so obvious. He said, to be a conservative means that you have to be enlightened. There's like a scales coming off your eyes to where, because liberalism, it's got a lot of good things about it. And at its core, it sounds like the kind, generous, thoughtful, selfless party, right? I mean, like liberalism is about liberty, like free to live your life, something we're all passionate about, right? So it sounds good, but Rush said, but really, it's when you have this enlightenment that you can kind of see things for what they are. And that's when you start. And sometimes that comes with adulthood and growing up and paying taxes and working hard that you learn those things, right? So I say all that to say that I think all of us have had scales come off of our eyes to varying degrees. And for me, a lot of the scales, let me just say, my scales came off with the Republican Party. Like, that's when I was like, I'm done. Done with y'all. Like, done. But all of us have had scales come off for in various ways where you can just see more clearly. And you're like, man, because when you know better, you do better, mm-hmm. right? And that's what we want to share. We're learning. We don't have all the answers, and we can get it wrong. And when we have these conversations, y'all know we're talking like three girlfriends in our living room. We're going to say things sometimes that like don't totally mean, but kind of do mean. You know what I'm saying? Like, yep. It's just a casual conversation. But what we want to do is lead you guys to the truth, just like we're searching for it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Kristen's trying to provide is evidence, facts, and empower you parents with what you need, because you're up against a behemoth of a medical industry and a pharmaceutical industry that wants your money.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, should we move on? First of all, this falls under the, this used to be called conspiracy theorists, right? For questioning the COVID vaccine, for questioning the lab leak, saying Anthony Fauci's a little weasel, right? We were all called conspiracy theorists. We now know that we're not, right? That those conspiracy theories were true. Mm-hmm. Another one was, well, we can't say that this is true, but the Francis Scott Key Bridge.
Mm-hmm.
Remember where you saw the video where it like veers and then slams into it and then knocks the whole bridge out? Okay. Yep. Immediately people said, something's not right. Now, let me just also
The conspiracy theorists were saying something's not right.
Yeah, the conspiracy theorists. The conspiracy theorists were like, weird. Okay. Now, on the one hand, we've seen in the last 4 years so many conspiracy theories be proven true that I think it's easy for us as humans to go think everything is a conspiracy, right? To now go, so we have to be careful that we should always ask, but we can't definitively say that it is until we have the facts. Guess mm-hmm. what? Mm. Guess what? They're going to do an investigation to see if this was like some form of terrorism or...
Didn't they say it's a criminal investigation?
Criminal.
I think someone was saying, they're just investigating. It doesn't mean anything. They're like, why do you need a criminal investigation if you're just like, you know, checking on things?
Criminal. This is not like we want to investigate what went wrong with the ship. It was, we think something nefarious happened and now we got to go figure it out.
Like, isn't that what we said? We were reading Coffee and COVID, which y'all know we got to plug that every show.
Jeff Childers, our little hero. We love you, Jeff.
I want to hang out with him.
Yes, he needs to be our friend. He needs to come on the podcast. I don't know y'all, but let me just say this. Again, conspiracy theorists seem to be batting 1,000.
Yeah.
So we'll see what comes out with this one. We'll see. We don't know yet. We truly don't know. But we do know there's been election fraud in Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to also make this point. So when people say Biden won the election fair and square, we know that's not true. And it doesn't have to do with mail-in voting. Okay. Although, mm-hmm. how do we know if mail-in voting was true? Like, none of us will ever know. We'll never know because it's such an unsecure process. Here's why we know that there was election interference. Hunter Biden's laptop.
Right.
They intentionally kept that information from the American public, called it false information, and demonized anyone who tried to talk about it. We're talking your own government came against you guys. I want you to understand, this was against all of us as voters.
Right.
They came against you, the Biden administration, and which they weren't in it, you know, the Clinton-Biden campaign, FBI, CIA, all working overtime to cover it up. And then there was a poll that asked people, if you had known about this, would it have changed your vote, Biden voters? Mm-hmm. Enough Biden voters said, oh, absolutely it would have. That would have swung the election. This is not hidden information. And it doesn't make us a conspiracy theorist to talk about it.
Nope.
That literally happened. Okay. So now, let's stop saying the election was fair. We already know that it was not. Okay. But then, by the way, they also were accusing Trump of being a Russian asset at the same time. Right. Now we know that came from the Clinton campaign, and that wasn't true. Okay?
And all those people lied.
They all lied, and there's been no consequence for all the liars, guys. This is what I'm saying. Like, we've got to bring back justice in this country real fast.
Mm-hmm.
But then now there's election fraud in Georgia, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do y'all want to talk about what's going on there?
Mm-hmm.
I have to look at that.
That's okay. Go ahead, Holly. If you're okay.
This is what happened. Election fraud investigator Joe Rossi was just sent another explosive letter from Georgia's state election board. The investigation report, which began in March 2022, has finally found, quote, errors in both the hand count and the machine count from the 2020 election in Fulton County. What does that mean? It means that none of the three vote counts from Georgia's 2020 election matched each other. That's because illegal ballot images and fake ballots were included in these counts. So these violations of election law are now officially on the agenda for the May 7th meeting of Georgia State Election Board. So basically, again, they do continue to find evidence of fraud, election fraud. So now we can't necessarily do anything about 2020. But my question is, what are we going to do about 2024? Are we going to still allow all this mail-in ballot voting? Are we going to require voter ID? I mean, thank God the state of North Carolina passed voter ID law, and we had to show ID to vote in the last primary. Thank God. It's about time. Because, by the way, the last time I voted in 2020, there were three addresses, two of which I'd never lived in, one of which was in Georgia. That's right, friends. The one of those states, North Carolina, I am convinced would have been, remember, they stopped counting votes in the state of North Carolina in 2020. We were like, when have they ever done that? It's so hard not to believe there was something crazy going on.
Because like, was bursting, and like they had to stop counting because
they didn't secure North Carolina's vote until Georgia said it went for Biden. They were waiting to see which state they could make it work for. I mean, I'm not saying that's true, y'all. I'm not saying that's true. I have no evidence that that's true. I'm saying it was weird. Like, why? Right? And why, for the first time in all of my years, was I a Georgian voter? I've never lived in Georgia. I'll be honest with you. I don't even like Atlanta. Let's be real. Like, I'm a Braves fan, but I don't love Atlanta. Well, I don't even want to go there except I have to fly through there sometimes. Like, I don't, no shade on Atlanta. Hey, love y'all. Like, but I'm just sorry. I need to not say everything I think. Okay. So I love y'all, Atlanta. But I'm just saying, I wouldn't live in Atlanta. I don't know. And it never happened. Why did I have an address? So then turns out the State Bureau of Investigation, my dad pushed it. Because guess what? They had an address for my dad, too, and my husband.
That is bizarre.
It was all fraud, y'all. It was all fraud.
Well, that's how we're going to figure out how we're going to do this 2024 election and do it correctly. Because, like, what are we going to do? Yeah. There's not going to be the mail-in. Well, I don't know. Are they going to allow mail-in? A lot of states have
the illegal aliens that are coming in that they're trying to allow for the census to change the voting too, right?
Right. That won't happen for this election, but I think that's definitely an issue.
Okay.
We got to fix it.
But what is something with the ID, with them being able to vote with this election? Like, they don't have to have an ID, right?
Okay. They're trying to. I don't know what they're saying about it. Are there certain states saying that they can let that you don't have to be a citizen to vote, which is just bizarre.
I think that's what.
Let's go back to one of the things what we did want to mention is at the border where there are porta potties that they just came out with this and showed there are flyers in them that say when you is this, I'm not making this up, right, y'all? Y'all saw it. Okay,
where it was, but I just know that
like tell them what it said.
Tell
them
who sent it.
Oh, wasn't you? I thought it was you. Okay.
It's Marjorie and Taylor Greene. That I thought you sent that with that clip. people.
I don't think so, but
okay, hold on. Let me just see if I can find it.
Right here.
Yeah.
We do not have a country without a secure border. And we cannot have a safe country. We cannot protect our own democracy without protecting our elections. That is a fact. The open border is the number one issue.
So she talks about that, but I want to get to the point where she says
financing the invasion of the country, but also telling illegal aliens to vote in the United States elections. They are telling illegal aliens, non-citizens, to come vote for Joe Biden. That's your boss. This is corruption at the deepest level.
They are flyers.
I would call it treason.
They I just didn't want to do it.
The boss did it. A video. Okay,
show it.
Hold on.
Show it. Here. They show the video.
Right.
Mexico and the porter potties at the migrant center for all of the migrants that are heading to the United States.
I need that video.
Reminder to vote for President Biden when you are in the United States. We need another 4 years of his, what does it say, of his term. So anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, is this legit? Like, who put these up? Do we even know?
Our elections have never been more secure. Stupids. Wow.
So, y'all, so we can, like, try to find out who put these there, but the thing is that they're telling people to come over here and vote.
Well, this was a hearing with Marjorie Taylor Greene. She brought up, she had a picture of the flyer. I just didn't want to play the whole thing.
Yeah.
You know, because of time. But anyway, she's got one that someone else just posted about it, and then Ross DeVos. So, I mean, those are all, I mean, you know, I haven't seen it myself, but they've shown pictures of it.
Our listeners know that the three of us are passionate about exposing the broken systems within our society, revealing how the quest for money and power has corrupted so many of them so that they no longer serve us.
That's right. We talk a lot about our broken medical system, and that includes our broken medical insurance system. We believe that it is time we dismantle the broken systems and work together to rebuild new ones that actually serve us.
And that's why we are excited to share an answer we found as an alternative to your traditional insurance plan that charges you exorbitant monthly payments and deductibles, then asks you to pay even more when you get sick, that controls your medical decisions, including what your physician is allowed to do and prescribe, and that rakes in billions as corporations at our expense.
That's why we love CrowdHealth. We interviewed CEO Andy Schoonover in episode 106, which we encourage you all to check out to learn more. But Andy founded CrowdHealth after experiencing firsthand just how inept and outrageous insurance companies have become.
CrowdHealth is not an insurance company, but a platform and a community that empowers you with a crowdfunding tool and a wealth of resources to efficiently manage your healthcare costs. And it's an excellent alternative to health insurance, allowing us to escape the healthcare matrix and put us and our healthcare providers back in charge.
Ever since my family and I made the switch to CrowdHealth, not only are we proud to be part of a company with integrity, but we love that we are free from the broken insurance system. We will never be part of that system again. We've had nothing but an A-plus experience. From before we even enrolled, we connected with an advocate who answered our questions. Then upon enrollment, we were immediately assigned a personal advocate who is literally a text away anytime I need her. If you follow them on Instagram and Twitter, you will see not only how much they truly care about each of the members, but also how much money they save us. This is why we encourage all of you to go to joincrowdhealth.org to learn more and to use code JUSTTHINK to get your first 3 months of membership for just $99 a month. Again, it's joincrowdhealth.org with discount code JUSTTHINK. You can also reference our Just Think the podcast Substack for more information.
And then in Wisconsin, you can go to wisconsin.gov It says free ID for voting.
That's what it
was. So it says get an ID free for voting, even if you do not have the documentation to get a regular Wisconsin ID.
Stop.
Yep.
Yeah.
I had a video about that. So,
It's at wisconsin.gov.
Yep.
So they're totally fine with it, guys. This is what's crazy. This is the goal. Like, it has them letting in 10 million illegals has to do with control. We have to know that. There's no other explanation. And then, of course, now we know that they're going to be counted in the census, which then determines how many electoral votes states get, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I guess that would backfire if they stay in Texas, because Texas tends to be a red state, although it's been a little purple in the last decade, but it tends to be a red state. I don't know.
I think that's why they're flying them to all these certain places, because mm-hmm. There's like lawnmower going off outside. Hopefully you can't hear it. But a lot of people are fleeing California and they're fleeing New York because the horrible policies and the crime and everything. So it's like they are trying to replace that population in those states where people are fleeing to come down here.
Yeah.
North Carolina's closed.
Yes.
Washington is closed. Don't go ahead and speak for Wilmington at least. We're closed.
So the whole state. Done. We're not letting any more in. Sorry. And that includes anyone from above the Mason-Dixon line. I'm just kidding. I love y'all.
DeSantis has a lawsuit against the Biden administration with the illegals. So that's another thing I'll add in the Substack. Good. Yes. To have them come. So Florida's a no-go area too.
Yeah. And guess what? Florida, there's a woman in Florida who was just sentenced to a month in jail because she sold Biden's daughter's diary. Did y'all hear this?
Oh, yes. Tell me something true without telling me.
She goes to jail for selling a fake diary.
Fake. Remember how they said it was a fake diary? Because inside the diary, she talks about inappropriate feelings with her father in the shower.
She feels like she was maybe molested.
Yeah.
But that's fake, though, right?
Mm-hmm.
So people get arrested for selling fake things?
Mm-hmm.
It's like just me. It's so beyond disturbing. And then
now we should probably go on to, we can talk real quick for a little comic relief. The furries in the school.
Honey. Okay, just read that headline. Does anyone have a headline?
Where is it? Hang on.
Because the headline alone makes me want to fight somebody.
Hang on. It's in our thing.
Yeah, here it is. Okay. So this is insane. Hundreds of students at Mount Nebo High School in Payson, Utah, staged a mass walkout from the school to protest the school's tolerance of, quote, furries. Now, you guys know what furries are? These are children who think they're animals, okay? The students say that those who participate in the furry subculture are not only tolerated to act out their fantasies by dressing up in outfits.
Finally, the school.
They also bite, scratch, bark at, and spray air freshener on other students who are just there to learn. The school's tolerance of furries. I can't believe I'm reading this out loud. The school's tolerance of furries has become extremely disruptive and even extends to putting a litter box in the girls' bathrooms. The administrators deny the veracity of these complaints, claiming that the problem has been blown out of proportion. The school was previously in the news after a teacher who promoted climate change gave her students bugs to eat for extra credit. So there does not seem to be a clash of like left versus right going on at this school. No question about it, right?
Well, then they interview a furry at the school named Strudel.
No.
Strudel. Oh, Holly. Let me show you Strudel. Okay, this is going to be everything. Okay. Are you ready to see Strudel?
No, but go ahead.
This is a dead ass. That's what the kids say.
Strudel was my best friend Denise's dog, her little weenie dog, and when I was 5 years old. That dog's name was Strudel. So this child's name is Strudel?
But wait till you see Strudel.
Oh, my God.
This is a straight-up news interview on the news. I'm not kidding. Okay, ready?
No, I can't. Is it from the school for real?
Yeah.
Strudel, member of the furry fandom. Though they've been a furry for over a decade, they have their own opinion. Yeah.
It's crazy that it's escalated to this point where these kids are being so distracting to their peers that their peers want to stage a walkout. So to have, you know, the next generation kind of muddy our name and not represent it very well, it is kind of disappointing.
Strudel believes there should be some limits.
Continue making art, but maybe let's keep it outside of school hours.
As for the school, Sorensen says
you should not be able to wear a full on look like you're at an NBA game as the mascot to school.
Okay, so let me read you what Jeff Childers said today.
Coffee and COVID,
shout out. So he played that video. Okay, so for those of you who aren't watching, Strudel is in a full-on dog mascot, like what you would see a mascot, the dog costume. That's cool, being interviewed by a news reporter, okay?
Wait, mind you, kids are not allowed to wear hoodies, right?
Hoodies or masks, right? Like, I mean, full-on, like, so, but that's a whole mask, a whole helmet mask.
It's like a whole, it's a head. It's like a whole head.
Right.
Okay, he said, there's a lot I could say, but since we already covered this story yesterday, I will just point out the literally unbelievable fact that Strudel's interview was taken seriously. The station played it as straight news, not a joke, like it was nothing weird at all to interview a kid in an expensive dog suit who uses plural pronouns and experiences distress identifying as a normal human. They wanted to get Strudel's point of view. I'll add the remarkable fact that there must be a parent or parents out there somewhere who bought their daughter a dog suit to wear. I'd like to see that interview with the parents. I am no furry expert, but my research suggests full fur suits like Strudel's start at around $2,500 and can easily top $10,000 if custom tailored for all day comfort. When I was in middle school, it used to be insulting to call a girl a dog, but apparently now that's a lifestyle choice. Call me old fashioned. Maybe the schools these days are training students to become professional team mascots or something. Otherwise, it's hard for me to comprehend how this furry business contributes at all to preparing kids to compete in an increasingly hostile world. Hopefully, Strudel will grow out of this stage and won't wind up on permanent disability. There's nothing cute about an unemployable adult wearing a fraying dog suit outside of a theme park. It's creepy.
I don't even know where to. Here's what we're not gonna do. We're not gonna do that. Yeah. I'm not participating in the insanity. Like, this child needs help. This child needs mental help. This child needs encouragement in a myriad of ways. Clearly, like, we're not doing this, y'all. I'm not playing along. This is where I'm like, this is my line in the sand. Mm-hmm. I'm not doing it. And this is like that slippery slope that everybody warned about. That if you could just identify, like, this is what, let me tell you something, a cat litter in a bathroom. If I were to walk in a bathroom and see someone squatting over a cat litter, I'm going to just tell y'all, I'd be in jail. Why am I doing this?
The reason why this story became a story is because a bunch of kids at the middle school walked out in protest of these kids because it says they're distracting their learning. Can you imagine having a kid wearing a mascot costume in your classroom? Like, that would be distracting just a little bit.
When the journalist asked, why are they spraying Febreze or fabric, so whatever it is that they're spraying, they said it was because they have rabies. Like these kids.
Hear all that? She probably needs Febreze because she's sweating in that heavy-ass costume every single day. She probably needs it.
They're afraid that the other kids are going to give them rabies, so they're spraying it. Y'all, this is that. No,
this is not y'all. So nuts. And let me say also, bite my child, bark at my child. Like, I'm listen. This is where I don't feel sorry anymore. Bite or bark at me. Like, no. And here's what I need. I need everybody who thinks I'm not crazy to say it out loud. Like,
say it out loud. Can you believe this is happening at an American school?
No.
At a school, like adults,
this happens.
Adults in the school. There are adults in the school. There are adult teachers, adult administrators, and there are kids walking around in costumes and barking and hissing and biting and like spraying and like. And this is okay. Like, they're just letting it go on because they don't want to hurt anybody's feelings.
Y'all, can you imagine this in China? Can you imagine if you were in a Chinese school and you walked in and you bark at somebody? Honey, you'd be dead. Like, there's no way. They would not allow this. This is where, again, I can have sympathy for the child that is hurting and clearly needs something that they're not getting.
Mm.
But this is nuts.
No. Mm-mm. There was something else when you were talking about that. Now I forgot. I'm distracted.
Strudel is very distracting.
Strudel distracted me. Last thing we got to talk about is the Trump. We need to talk about the Trump versus Biden. And then also the jury, the Trump trial right now.
So, Holly, I don't know if you saw this, but so apparently, like, you know, because Trump is having to be in trial now all day, every day, he's not able to campaign, which he considers and his supporters consider election interference, because Biden is able to go out and do his campaigns. Trump, they have him locked in a courtroom. They're not even allowing him to go to his son's graduation.
That's all on purpose.
High school graduation, he is not allowed to attend. He has to sit in the courtroom. So also, he can't go campaign because he's sitting in the courtroom. So he decided to, on a break, I guess, go visit a bodega in Harlem, which I think a bodega is like a convenience store, like inner city convenience store. And it was on House and Habit's story. She documented the whole, like, put it all together, but it showed him out there. And I mean, people were lining the streets. We love chanting. We love Trump. Loved it. And he even said, like, if I can't campaign, I'll go around to some, you know, like the other day he went to the Chick-fil-A, right? We saw that. Y'all may have seen that. He's like, I'll just go talk to some people out in the street, you know, or go to this business. Everybody's like loving it. And he'll make a little speech, do a little campaign speech or whatever, and then go back to court. Well, so I guess Biden got inspired by what Trump did.
And was first, like, of all, you should see how many people were out there. Like,
I know.
It was really where Trump was. I mean, and the fact that, like, so few, because Jeff Childers said the stat of, like, how many people voted for Trump. It was like, was it like 12%? Not very few, supposedly, in 2020. But you should see the freaking support and everybody rallying around there with that. So, meanwhile, are you going to find the video of...
I want to. I'm going to try.
But is this when Biden went to the Wawa, is what they said? Yes. He went to the Wawa. Yes. And then they had staged it so that they like did like a dress rehearsal.
No. This was even... There were two things. There was that one when they staged it, but the other one when he walked in. Like, do you have that one handy? Like, with
Was that two different... He went to two different gas stations?
Because one of them, he had a mask. He had his sunglasses on. The other one, he didn't.
Oh. So,
I think it was two different things.
Okay. Okay, here it is.
Okay.
So she says, seeing the success of Trump's visit, Biden was inspired to visit a gas station. So here's his visit.
Nobody's here.
He literally just walked up to a woman and her children. The woman was on the phone, the mom. And she just looked up, smiled, and then looked back down at her phone.
Yeah. Like, they don't care. Nobody cares.
He's walking up to the counter and he's like trying to be relatable, like, what's up, man? Yeah. And then I think they say, oh, you need to go get a picture. So he walks back there and like takes a picture. Nobody's crowding around.
Nobody cares. In his basement in 2020 and still, quote, won the election, lived in his basement. And I think part of that was they didn't want him out. One is dementia, right? It's hard to cover that up. But number two, I mean, I'm serious. I think that, like, that's hard. But then I think it was, like, in comparison to the Trump rallies, it looked pathetic.
Right.
And so there was, like, no point.
It was better to just, that, right.
Like, people who voted for Biden in 2020 did it because they hated Trump. It wasn't because they loved Biden. There's very few people who love him. But now, when they've seen what 4 years of Biden will do to their pocketbooks, what it'll do to their gas, to their food, to their flights, to their travel, to their mortgages, to their insurance, when they see inflation, it will affect the way they vote. Mm-hmm. Most people vote on what's affecting them personally. And everybody's feeling the effects of the Biden administration the last 4 years. If you're not, then you're one of the elitists who's probably part of the deep state, and therefore you probably will vote for Biden, but for totally different reasons.
Mm-hmm. Like, right. I think this time the difference is people who still hate Trump, they're just not going to vote.
Yeah.
You know, and I think it's going to, I mean, instead of getting out to vote against.
Or they will still vote for Biden just because they hate Trump that much.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I mean, I can see that.
There's also another candidate, RFK.
Do that because
he's amazing too. Like, I'll be honest,
he's a Democrat. I mean, he's not running as one, but he is a Democrat,
right? And I still, I mean, he's an amazing person, you know. So,
well, he is a thousand times more integrity, and he has helped us greatly in our pursuit of identifying the ways that corporate America gets away with greed and in cahoots with the U.S. government. I mean, he has been such an integral part of our journey. His research from Monsanto to vaccines, this dude has done the American public a great service. And again, we're not endorsing anyone. We're just saying, like, there would have been a really great candidate that the Democrats could have put up, but he's not, he doesn't toe the line.
Do you have to go?
I have to get Haley.
Oh, that's right.
We gotta wrap this up.
Sorry, I didn't realize.
Was the jurors and judge donating to Biden. Just to let y'all know, the judge and the jury, the trial for Trump, donated to Biden, right?
Yeah.
That's totally unfair and unbiased, right? And then you should see the freaking, we'll just link Jeff Childers' Substack, just talking about the jurors that
y'all follow this trial. Follow this trial and see who's on the jury, or, you know, not that we know them, but nobody's going to be unbiased and impartial. Let's just say that. And if the judge donated to the Biden campaign and has not been excused from the case, it's a mess.
So everybody just pay attention.
But I wanted to play one more thing, this random thing. We'll end on a kind of funny, but also ridiculous note. Do y'all know you're not supposed to say black coffee anymore?
I just saw that. What is this about?
In Seattle, right?
Yep. Do you want to play it, Holly? Will it play?
I don't have it pulled up. Do you have it pulled up?
Yeah, I'll play it.
Yeah.
Going to the coffee shop, and I didn't realize there was a sign that said, on our mask. I had no idea. So I'm walking, I'm like, can I get an iced coffee black? And the woman smelled like this. And I was like, my face. And she's like, try it like this. Just tip her cheeks. I was like, what is this? And she goes, mask. You need to wear a mask. And I said, I'm sorry. And I took out, apologized. I was like, I'm from New York. I've been able to have the mask mandate for a while. She goes, well, Seattle, we take it very seriously. And I was like, okay. And then she said, what would you like? I said, may I have an iced coffee black? She goes, you need a coffee with cream, with no cream? I said, yes. I said, an iced coffee black, fucking her penis. Just the same thing. She goes, it's not. She goes, iced coffee black? That's a little harsh. Coffee with no cream sounds better. No! Oh my God. That's a real thing. I was like, I'd honestly rather be by ISIS than this woman anymore.
I love
it.
There you go.
Yeah,
that's Chris. Oh my gosh. I saw him in Raleigh with my son, Anderson. Chris, it's hilarious. But seriously, the fact that we're now making... Okay, first of all, the fact if you think black is a bad word, is that not racist?
Well, isn't that the White House?
Yeah. I mean, what are we doing? Here's how we defeat insanity. I believe that most people are not insane, that most people are logical or fairly logical. That doesn't mean they're super smart or intelligent, but like there's good sense somewhere in them. We don't play along anymore. Mm-hmm. What you do when a woman says, it sounds better, you say, no, it doesn't. It's black coffee, so go get me some iced black coffee now. Like, I'm not trying to be mean, but like, stop playing along. Stop censoring your words for insanity. Stop. We've got to stop this.
I don't know why I was shocked, but you know, because these days,
here we are and living in Insaneville.
Just have to do that real quick.
Well, listen, guys, we managed to get through this without swearing, or I think for the most part, and just trying to put it out there. Here's where things are. Have the courage to stand up against it. Stay informed, but get your head out of your phones and out of your laptops and your TVs and get outside and get some fresh air and some sunshine and move your bodies, because all of this stuff is so toxic. We don't want you to sit in it. We just want you to know. And now we want you to go outside. And then when someone says, don't say black coffee, you say, you can go, you know what? All right. Because we're not doing it. We're not doing it anymore. Okay. All right, everybody. We'll see you next time. Bye.